In 1971, the Oakland Athletics were owned by Charlie Finley, a maverick who'd moved the team from Kansas City in 1968. He fancied himself a visionary but acted more like a buffoon. He delighted in shaking up the baseball world with such innovations as multicolored uniforms, ball girls, orange baseballs, an idea with a very brief life, and a mechanical jackrabbit that hauled fresh baseballs to the home plate umpire. Anything for more attention. He bought a mule, named it Charlie O, and paraded it around the field and even into hotel lobbies. But while he was hogging the headlines with his eccentricities, he was also building a dynasty. He hired an able manager, Dick Williams, and put together a team that included Reggie Jackson, Joe Rudy, Sal Bando, Burt Campanaris, Rick Monday, Vida Blue, Catfish Hunter, and Raleigh Fingers. The A's of the early 1970s were, without a doubt, the coolest team in baseball. They wore white cleats, the first and only team to do so, and they had a dazzling array of uniforms, different combinations of green, gold, white, and gray. California cool, with longer hair, facial hair, and an air of nonconformity. For a game that was by then over 100 years old and demanded that its traditions be worshipped, the A's were outrageous. They had attitude. The country was still hung over from the 1960s. Who needed authority? All rules could be broken, even in such a hidebound place as pro baseball. In late August 1971, Ron made his third trip to Oakland, this time as an Athletic. A member of the club, one of the boys, a star of the future, though he'd yet to play a game as a professional. He was well received, got the pats on the back and the words of encouragement. He was 18 years old, but with a round baby face and bangs down to his eyes, he looked no more than 15. The veterans knew that the odds were stacked against him, as they were for every kid who signed a contract, but they nonetheless made him feel welcome. They'd once been in his shoes. Less than 10% of those who sign pro contracts make it to the big leagues for just one game, but no 18-year-old wants to hear it. Ron loitered around the dugout and the field, hung out with the players, took in pregame batting practice, watched the rather thin crowd file into Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. Long before the first pitch, he was led to a prime seat behind the A's dugout where he watched his new team play. The following day he returned to Ada, determined more than ever to breeze through the minors and crack the show at the age of 20. Maybe 21. He'd seen, felt, absorbed the electric atmosphere of a major league ballpark, and he would never be the same. His hair got longer. Then he tried to grow a mustache, though nature failed to cooperate. His friends thought he was rich, and he certainly worked hard to give that impression. He was different, cooler than most folks around Ada. He'd been to California. Throughout September, he watched with great amusement as the A's won 101 games and clinched the American League West. Soon, he'd be up there with them, catching or playing center, wearing the colorful uniforms, long hair and all, part of the hippest crew in the game. In November, he signed a contract with Topps Chewing Gum, giving the company the exclusive right to exhibit, print, and reproduce his name, face, photo, and signature on a baseball card. Like every boy in Ada, he'd collected thousands of them, saved them, swapped them, framed them, hauled them around in a shoebox, and saved his coins to buy more. Mickey Mantle, Whitey Ford, Yogi Berra, Roger Maris, Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, all the great players with the valuable cards. Now he would have his own. The dream was rapidly coming true.